So our final message is going to be on the spiritual discipline of evangelism and discipleship. And evangelism, something that is a discipline, meaning something that I began with to encourage you, that by the end of this prayer advance you would have specifics, that you would have a plan to commit, to train, to obey God. Evangelism and discipleship is one of those things that we have to plan, to commit, to do on a regular basis. So your outline you have, I adapted it a little bit. It's a simple outline. Go make disciples is going to be our outline today. Go make disciples. Jesus' command, Matthew 28, go make disciples. And so the commitment is to obey the Lord Jesus Christ when he says go. Okay? And again, go is not a hard word. What does go mean?
Go.
Go. Right? So there is a opportunity. And what is the opportunity? There's a place, there's a person who's not doing God's will. They're not doing God's will, right? They may not be saved, or they may be someone who is less mature than you. You're not really going to disciple someone who's more in the faith than you. Let's just say that, right? So here's an opportunity, and God will always provide people in your life that need to be discipled or are lost. And so when you see that, what do? Go. Okay? That means you move towards the person. And so the spiritual discipline aspect is to make a faith commitment to go towards people to help them. Go. All right? It's a pretty simple thing. Why do we go? What gives us the authority to go? Well, Jesus said, before he commands to go, he says very clearly, Matthew 28, 18, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples. So the reason we are commissioned to go is because all authority has been given to Christ in heaven and on earth. All exousia. He has the right by his death, burial, and resurrection to command obedience from everybody in the universe, in heaven and on earth. And the resurrected King of Kings, after affirming his authority, says, go and make disciples. Go and make disciples. And so if you are a disciple, you will go and make disciples. And the reason you will go is because all authority. And it's hard to go up to someone and say, excuse me, sir, and have a conversation with someone and say, unless you repent of your sins, you're going to hell. Who are you to say that to me? Well, Jesus Christ told me, and he has all authority, and you're transgressing, you're trespassing on his universe, okay? You're going against his will, and the king has made me an ambassador, and I'm telling you that you need to repent of your sins. You go and you make disciples. That's the first step in making disciples. You preach the gospel. Preach the gospel to every creature. So you go and you preach the gospel. And that's a commitment that we make as a disciple. Jesus said, go make disciples, because all authority on heaven and earth has been given to him. And he wants this to be his witnesses. All of this kingdom advancing stuff is a witness to the greatness of his kingdom. It's a witness to his kingdom. And so we go and we preach the gospel. To who? To everybody who's not doing his will. To those who are lost, and to those who may be saved or not, they're confused, they need help. Discipleship. Go, because Christ has commanded it. Pretty clear stuff, right? Go and make disciples, because all authority has been given to him. Has been given to Christ, and he commands us to go. If you need an example, example of Paul. Look what Paul did in Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. What does Paul do? When he gets saved, of course he was persecuting the church. We'll pick it up at Acts 9, 18. So immediately after he 18 and 17, and Ananias went his way and entered the house and laid his hands on him. He said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Okay? So Paul was the great persecutor of the church. He was the enemy of the church. Jesus Christ appeared to him. Jesus Christ commissioned him. Jesus Christ saved him. Then what happened? Verse 18. Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight. At once he arose and was baptized. So when he had received food, he was strengthened. So Saul spent some days with the disciples at Damascus. And immediately, he preached the Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. Then all who heard were amazed and said, "Is this not he who destroyed those who called on his name in Jerusalem and has come here for that purpose, so that he might bring them bound to the chief priests?" And the story goes on. So you see, what did Paul immediately do? He confessed Christ in his baptism, right? And he immediately preached the gospel. That's what Christians do. They're saved, they're baptized, and they preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus does this for us. He was sent by his Father, John 5, 24 to 30. He was sent by his Father. And so we are to go as sent ones. Apostles are sent ones. The apostles were sent. Big A apostle. They were sent by Christ. We are sent by Christ as small A apostles, giving a witness from the apostles' witness that he indeed is who he said. He is the resurrected Lord. Jesus Christ came as one who was sent by his Father, and so he sends us. So when we go make disciples, we are following in the path of Jesus Christ. There's no way around it. It was his central mission to go make disciples. John 5, 24. "Most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life." He's the sent one. "And shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death to life. Most assuredly I say to you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself, and has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. I can do nothing of myself. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me." Christ was sent by his Father for this mission, to redeem us from our sins. And so the sent one from the Father says, "Now I send you. I send you into the world to go and make disciples." So if you want to make something of your life, make disciples. That's the commission. Why? Because all authority has been given to Christ. We see this as the normative example in Scripture. When people are saved, like Paul, they immediately start preaching the gospel. They preach the gospel. Jesus Christ was sent by his Father. And Jesus Christ did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for the many. Everything Jesus did, he was what? Going. He was going, 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 preaching, preaching, preaching. And as he's preaching the gospel, what is he doing? Making disciples. That's the paradigm. We have it in Matthew 28. What does that look like? What does it mean to make disciples? Well, Jesus did it through the whole book of Matthew. What did he do? He called some men to be with him. This is discipling. And as he's discipling, what is he doing? He's going, he's going, he's going. And he's preaching the gospel to those who don't know the gospel. That's the Great Commission. Will you go? Will you go and preach the gospel? Matthew chapter 4. How do we do this? How do we do this? In Matthew chapter 4, verse 8. Again, not 8. 18. Matthew 4:18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." They immediately left their nets and followed him. So what is the prerequisite to following, to being a catcher of men? What's the prerequisite in this text? Follow Christ. That's what you need to do to be a disciple maker. Follow Christ. Does this start in the home? No. It starts in the heart. This does not start in the home. It starts in the heart. It doesn't say you have to have your home in order to make disciples. It says you have to have your heart in order to make disciples. It's something that happens, and the key word that we talked about this at our one men meeting was simultaneously. It's not an either or. I don't wait to make disciples of those outside of my home until I disciple those in my home, any more than I should wait to make disciples in my home until I learn to make disciples outside of my home. I should make disciples. I should be a catcher of men as I follow Jesus. It happens simultaneous. And if you don't know how to make disciples, then how do you learn? By failing. You always learn more by failing. It's good to fail. So, as I got right with the Lord, I began to preach the gospel, and I didn't make too many disciples at that point. And they would ask me questions, and they would stump me. And I'd come back, and that's how I learned. Jesus said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Then immediately they left their nets and followed him. So there's a call that Jesus has to put him first to make disciples, period. What's standing in your way? If the nets are standing in your way, you need to drop your nets and follow him. Whatever those nets may be. Going from there, he saw two brothers, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. He called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. My last day at work with my father was a very emotional day. I wrote my dad a letter. And at the end of the work day, I left the letter in his truck. And I said, "Dad, I'm leaving the company to follow the Lord Jesus Christ to make the disciples. As the sons of Zebedee left their father, so I'm leaving you to pursue this calling. And I love you and I appreciate your support." And that was a hard day. But that was the call of God. And God calls us to do those type of things. And we know there's no sacred, secular economy. All work is to be done before God. But there is a call that God gives. It says, "Leave your nets and go follow me." Whatever those nets may be, there's a focus here. So we know Paul was not against a tent-making ministry. That was the core of his what? Evangelism. And his provision. What was he doing while he was making tents? Making disciples. Right? Read the book of Acts. And he also was getting money so he could provide for his own needs and the needs of others. It's all about making disciples. Making disciples. Jesus said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." If you're following Jesus Christ, you will be making fishers of men. If you're not following Jesus Christ, you will not be going and preaching the gospel and making disciples. A discipleless disciple is not a disciple. Any more than a fishless fisherman is not a fisherman. Okay? He may be a lousy fisherman, right? But if he doesn't fish, "Hey, I'm a fisherman, but I never fish." Are you a fisherman? By your fruit, you'll know them. No. "Well, I'd like to be a fisherman." Okay. "I'd like to be a disciple." Then say that. "I'd like to be a disciple, but I'm not because I'm too afraid or I'm too hindered by something to go make disciples. So I don't make disciples. And if I don't make disciples, guess what? I'm not a disciple. Because what do disciples do? They go make disciples. Go make disciples. Go make disciples. So we make disciples. How do we make disciples? There's a very specific plan. It's a very specific focus. We follow Jesus. and how he made disciples. He made disciples of everyone around them. He had his called, who he consistently discipled, but he made disciples of all men. It's pretty basic, but it's oh so radical. It's a completely transformation of a different way of looking at our life and our mission. And guess what? Everything hinges on our ability to go make disciples. Everything. Everything. This is where the prayer of faith comes in. God will give you people to go preach the gospel to and make disciples as you ask him. That's the prayer of faith. God will give you people to advance his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven as you go and make disciples. That takes faith. But as you have faith, he will call you to go make disciples. And it's true of young people and old people and all people who are, the only prerequisite is you have to what? Follow Jesus. I will make you fishers of men. It's okay. Did the disciples mess up in the Gospels when they were trying to be discipled by the Lord? All the time. Right? Not so much in the book of Acts. They were discipled. Okay? It's okay if you fail. It's okay if you mess up. Just keep following Jesus and making disciples. The point isn't do I mess up. The point is do I fall? Do I get up? The point is am I obedient? Do I go? Okay, what do I do in making disciples? Jesus said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, all ta ethne, all the people groups, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So you go, you preach the gospel to all creation, all ethnic groups, all nations, preach the gospel. And God draws his elect through the preaching of the word of God. And they confess Christ. As they confess Christ, they are what? Identified. They're baptized through believer's baptism. To baptize believers here, right? Baptizing them in the name of God. So to be baptized, they recognize something of the triune nature of God, something of the gospel. They believe the gospel. They repent of their sins. And they want to be identified. They were saved. They were baptized. They were added to the church. The book of Acts gives us this pattern. And that's in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So they're identifying as believers. And now those people that are identifying as believers, those are the disciples that you are to do this next command. You're to teach them. Teaching them. Teaching them. Teaching who? Teaching those who are confessing Jesus Christ. And that begins the work now of discipleship. So you're going and preaching. That's evangelism. Right? You go, you preach the gospel. And that's to all nations. Because the nations aren't obeying Jesus Christ. And that's a problem. They're sinning. They're going against his will. And we proclaim, repent of breaking the law of God and believe the gospel. Those who are saved, as Paul and Mars Hill in Acts 17, he went, he preached the gospel to the unknown soldier, right? Unknown God. Yeah, not the unknown soldier. The unknown God. And he preaches the gospel. He says, what you don't know, I'll proclaim to you. And he starts from the beginning. God is the creator from one blood. He made all men. And here's the issue. Will you believe in him? And he calls all men to repent. And he gives the witness of that is the resurrection. The witness that there's a judgment day is the resurrection. And then what's interesting, most of them laugh. Ha, 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 they mock. But there were some who heard and they followed him. He discipled them. So every time we're preaching the gospel, we want to be looking for disciples. Those elect that God will draw through the preaching of the gospel. And again, we want to preach the gospel in such a way that only the elect come. We don't want the non-elect to come in the sense that we're not trying to water down the gospel to such a degree that everybody could just, like I did when I got right with the Lord, I went out and said, are you a sinner? Yeah, I got people to say the sinner's prayer. And I got a lot of people to say the sinner's prayer. But they were horrible to disciple because they didn't believe the gospel. And I said, there's something wrong here. Either there's something wrong with like the Bible, or there's something wrong with the way I'm doing it. And my conclusion is, there's something wrong with me. I'm not really preaching the gospel. And I realized I got to lay out the law and call for sin and repentance of sin. And so it was way better because I made a lot less decisions. I had a lot less decisions, but a lot better discipleship. You know, and understanding the parable of the seed and the sower is very helpful too, like Greg did with us yesterday. So you're preaching the gospel to those whom God is drawing. They are convicted and they want to hear more. You don't know immediately, but you begin immediately to disciple these people or this person. Right? and you bring them to a faith. God brings them. He calls them to be born again, and they're identified, and now begins the long-term perspective of what? Of teaching. And you know, you may be preaching the gospel over here, and then God may bring you someone to disciple way over here. It's not always the same. I know in my life, I'm sowing over here, and I'm reaping over here, and I'm reaping over here, and I'm sowing over there. The fields are different, and that's God's doing. Okay? But the point is this: we're all about one thing, going and making disciples. And so, in making disciples, those who identify with God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we are to do this ongoing activity, teaching, it's the participle, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. So it's teaching and training. Because you're teaching them to what? Obey. Teaching them to obey. So in teaching them, yes, you want to have some formal teaching, some sit-down teaching, some planned teaching. So you need to have a plan to make the disciples in your life. What is your plan to make disciples?
Teach the Lord.
Right? Having that plan. And as you have plan time, you also have life on lifetime. Just like Jesus did with his disciples. He sat down by the mountain and he taught them. Well, then he also walked by the way and he taught them. And that's always going on. That's how you make disciples. It's planned, it's purpose, and it's life on life. The life integrated principle. That's how you make disciples. And you teach them to do what? Take all of Scripture to all of life. Teach them to observe all things that I've commanded you. That's the discipleship mandate. That is the process by which we make disciples. Now listen, that needs to be happening in your life if you're a disciple of Jesus Christ. It's a spiritual discipline that you are making disciples of those in your life, certainly in your home, and outside your home. If you don't have anybody to disciple outside of your home, then you need to do what? Ask God to go, preach the gospel, and make disciples. And so you should be able to look back on your life and say, yeah, I discipled this person, and this person, and this person, and this person. If there's not, there's something wrong with your theology. There's something wrong with your relationship with Christ. It's absolutely pivotal. And the church has lost this. We've lost discipleship making. We've hired professionals to do it. We think it's somebody else. No, this is normal Christianity. This is like, I pray, I read the Bible, and I make disciples. That's it. And that's the most important thing. That is the most important thing. Eschatological hopes are a pipe dream if you're not making disciples for you. It's worthless, right? What good is it? It's nothing. Discipleship is, you want to talk about influencing the next generation and advancing the kingdom? Make disciples. That's what you'll give an account for. Now, my eschatology motivates me to do that, of course. Why wouldn't it? Because Jesus said, I am with you always. That's a promise. He's going to be with us to help us, right? He said he's going to come back and everything's going to be made right. And he said he's going to advance his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. There's my future hope. And we all agree with that. And so that's huge. Now, what are we going to be held accountable for is if we obeyed this commission. Make disciples. Well, I'm not ready. Then follow Jesus. He's with you. He'll show you step by step. Follow him. Any questions? Are you ready to make disciples? That's it. That's how you make disciples. It's not. It's amazing. I remember as I was a young man in college, I was preaching the gospel to I would go on to the street of witnessing in Cincinnati and Columbus, but I really like Cincinnati. And I really enjoyed that time. It was very, very formative for me. So every Saturday we would go out and preach the gospel. I led a group of 100, about 100 or 120 college students every Friday night to go out. Well, I led part of it. Some other people did well. And we would go out and preach the gospel. And I remember this one time I ran into a guy named Clint. And he lived a homosexual life his whole life. And I got to talking with him and preached the gospel, and he broke down. He said, my whole life I believed a lie. I was raised in the church. I got away from the Lord. I went into this homosexual lifestyle. He said, the whole thing has been a lie. A lie. And I repent of my sin. And I had the privilege to spend the rest of that school year, I met with him every Friday. And so there, it was like, wow, because I missed this, you know, casting the seed broad, but God had someone for me to disciple. So that's how it works. Evangelism, the goal of evangelism is discipleship. And the goal of discipleship then is evangelism. Right? You make disciples to do what? Make disciples. And so one thing we did for Clint, all his college kids, we made him, it was his birthday and we were down there on a Friday, we made him a birthday cake. And we all went into his apartment and sang happy birthday to him, like, I don't know, 35 college kids. And he was an older gentleman. And he talked about that the rest of his life till he died.
That's that tying heartstrings. That'll have just such a huge impact.
Yeah.
Especially a guy coming out of a situation like that.
Yeah, he was amazed that we did that. And we met, we had dinner, you know, as the years went by, I went back, had dinner with him, and then he got sick and went into a home, and I'm assuming he's dead. I mean, I lost contact with him, but he was getting very ill, and I moved away from college then. But that's always a memory that I'll always have of a disciple. That's what we do. It's good for you. And I guarantee you have. I guarantee you have time for it. Yes. Why do I know that you have time for it? Because it's God's will. That's right. You have time to pray. You do. You have time to be in the Word. And if you may only have a few minutes to make that disciple, to make that evangelistic call, right? To your neighbor, to your coworker, to the person, the cash register, bring a tract. Would you like some good news about who is God? Give them a gospel fruit, right? It takes a second to do. But you never know how that's going to bear fruit. And so it's a way of looking at life as, this is the commission, this is the king, he has all authority, he sends me, I have no choice, I can obey or disobey, right? I'm going to go, I'm going to make disciples. I'm going to preach the gospel to all creation. If you're in the ta ethne, right? If you're in the nations, all the people groups of the earth, you're fair game. Amen. That's all you got to be. Right? Now, this is the most important thing. You want to, this won't make it to the news, but this is what transforms the whole culture. Discipleship. This is it. So, this is the undertow. Okay? Spiritual disciplines, that's your own heart. Your obedience to Christ, that's your own heart. When you look at the ocean, right, what do you see? You see the waves going a different, you see the top water going in and out, right? But what's really directing the ocean is the undertows. That's what's forming the currencies in the ocean. Okay? Discipleship is in those currencies. That's what transforms culture. It's not readily apparent. It's the mustard seed that dies. But as that mustard seed dies and we go and follow this commission and make disciples, then 5, 10, 15 years later, I don't know, God's timing, right? That's what transforms the culture. That's what transforms the culture. And the reason it transforms the culture, and discipleship always transforms the culture, is because of the commission is to go make disciples and teach them to observe all things I've commanded. That means all things. So it's going to transform how you live your life, how you interact with your wife, how you have your family relationships. That's huge. How you understand church. How you understand government, because the way you understand government will come out of the way you understand church government. Church governance sets the context for political governance. How you understand patriarchy and eldership and representative leadership. All that's part of discipleship making, right? How you understand work ethic. Work ethic transforms culture. The way you work. We pray for work that is meaningful, that we advance the kingdom through our work. That transforms culture. That's how we become salt and light. See, we are the women no longer want to kill their babies. So what if all the women didn't want to kill their babies anymore because they were following Christ? See, that's discipleship. We're throwing our birth control away. We're having more children. That's discipleship. Right? Teach them to observe all things I've commanded you. So that's how the cultural impact comes in. And so because the commission is to teach them to observe all things. And in the church, we've been divided. You have, as I grew up, it was all about evangelism, but no little discipleship. They talk about it, but we got to get them saved. We got to go out and preach the gospel. We got to preach the gospel, right? On the other hand, it can be so much about discipleship that we don't go and preach the gospel. We don't go make disciples. And so it's about cloistering away and the separation. And that's a problem. Jesus' command will give you the perfect balance in your life, which will set the perfect context and atmosphere that he wants in your family and in the church, and it's this. Go. Make disciples. Because your family needs to see you making disciples. And you need to be making disciples. And those disciples then, you know you've made a disciple when what? When that disciple goes out and makes a disciple. That's when it ends. So the goal of evangelism is discipleship. The goal of discipleship is evangelism, that those disciples would go out and they make disciples. Now you add to that the prayer of faith, and you become unstoppable. Hey, let's not crinkle that so loud. Oh, that's you. Sorry, Josh. Paper. I thought it was Ben. Go make disciples. Any questions? What would keep you from making disciples?
Fear, intimidation, selfishness.
Yeah, selfishness, fear, laziness, mind, unbelief.
Yeah. Yeah.
Doubt.
Okay, so how are you going to overcome those? Fear, doubt, selfishness, how do we overcome them? Yeah, the prayer of faith. If you have a prayer of faith, you will make disciples. If you pray in faith, believing. Again, prayer of faith is, it's not a I hope so. It's not a I might. It's not a I maybe. It's like, I will make disciples. Why? I know it's God's will. So the prayer of faith grabs hold of that promise and says, I will make disciples. And guess what? You will. If you pray in faith, you will live in faith. And if you live in faith, you experience the blessings of faith, which is the advance His kingdom on earth as it is in heaven, and you will make disciples. And I'm talking in your home and outside of your home. Your home will be a place of discipleship. Every home is to be a place of discipleship. However God's designed it and wired it according to your own uniqueness, that's fine. And if you're afraid, then it's good to meet that fear and fail and say the wrong thing and have someone walk away from you. Why? That's how you're going to grow. That's life on life. You don't have to be perfect. You're not going to have all the answers. Jesus Christ disciples you. Remember the promise. And lo, I am what? With you. That's all you need to know. He's with you to help you. Fear, selfishness, I'm not trained. Well, get training. We have more training in this country on how to do evangelism than... Yeah, there's a lot, right? And those are good. They're helpful. Use them. Take advantage of them. But the most important... I know for me, I didn't know much about anything. I just did it.
Right. I mean, you know, everyone has a testimony. Anyway, if you're a player, you have a testimony, and it can start there.
Start with your testimony.
It's about sharing the word.
Yeah. It's not about a technique. It's about sharing the word. You just have to know the gospel.
That's right.
And you need to be one step ahead of the person you're trying to disciple. I mean, if it's a lost person, you know the gospel, you preach the gospel. If you're two steps behind, then you need to ask that person to disciple you. And so the church should be a place where we're all, you know, engaging in a period of discipleship. Hey, can we get together for, 12 meetings? Because you got to plan that. So what's your plan? Let's get together for 10 meetings. We can meet this time and then go from there. And see where that, so there's a little bit of plan, and then that brings some life on life, and you make disciples. That's how you make disciples. Or whatever is going to work for you. It could be a coworker, right? It could be someone where you just, the Word of God is essential. It has to involve teaching and training the Word of God. And it's fun. It's the commission. This is what it's about.